This is Drive with Louise Saunders on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
I quite like it if somebody sent me a gift every fortnight, once a month. I didn't quite know what was going to be in it, but I had a bit of an idea. Of course, having to pay for it makes it a whole other story. There's a whole world out there of subscription boxes. Do you indulge? With me from the University of Tasmania, lecturer in marketing, retail researcher, Dr. Louise Grimmer. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Louise.
What is a subscription box?
Well, look, that's a good question. There are two types of subscription box, Louise. There is what we call a recurring subscription, which is a pretty run-of-the-mill, every month you get some usually sort of household products or grocery products delivered. You know what's coming. You've given your credit card. So, for example, I get my toilet paper delivered every 2 months. Or you can get, if you're a man, you can get shaving accessories or grooming accessories delivered. But a subscription box is something a little bit different. A subscription box is a box that you will have delivered usually on month by month, and they're based around a theme or types of products, and you don't know exactly what's going to be in the box every time it arrives. And so this has taken off big time in the United States in particular, and it's just sort of starting to grow more in popularity here in Australia. And so I might sign up to a particular subscription box retailer, and there are literally hundreds of them. I was going to say thousands.
Well, that's quite possibly true as well.
Look, I want to share with you some of the sort of boxes you can get.
Please.
If you're a pet lover, you can get a pet box. You can get socks. You can get clothes. You can get beauty products. You can get tech stuff. You can get kids, things for kids, things to do crafting. You can get gourmet food. There's one for superfoods, people who love superfoods, cocktails. And then I found some really fantastic niche ones. If you own a parrot, you can get a subscription box for parrot owners. You can also get date night boxes, adult themed boxes. If you're a person who loves beef jerky, you can get a beef jerky box every month. Now, obviously, you know around the theme of what you're getting.
I do, especially if
you've got to get your mind around the parrot and the beef jerky.
Well, I was thinking parrot and date night, really.
Parrot or beef jerky and date night. But you don't know exactly what's coming in the box. And so this is very exciting for consumers because, as you can imagine, as you said, it's like getting a present in the mail. Yes, we have to pay for it. Or sometimes people buy these subscriptions for their friends or family members. But we go through a lot of emotions when we are involved in subscription box retailing. So if you think about it, we go through anticipation. So we're eagerly awaiting the box. We know it's going to come every month. Then we go through curiosity. What is going to be in the box? Surprise when we open the box. And then, depending on what's in the box, we might go through joy, delight, satisfaction, or perhaps disappointment if we're not that happy with what's in the box. And we might talk about that a little bit towards the end of our discussion. And then the cycle starts all over again with anticipation. And, the research that's been done around this has sort of found that the reason that we like subscription box retailing is to do with a few sort of psychological theories and concepts around things like dopamine rushes, which are around the theory of operant conditioning, which we find around gambling, and to do with the notion of behavioural consistency. So we might talk about both of those sort of conditioning.
There was a new word to me there, operant.
Yes, operant conditioning.
What does that mean?
Well, okay, so if we look at our motivation for wanting to get these subscription boxes, we get a bit of a dopamine rush when we are anticipating the reward, so when we're waiting for the box to come, and then when the reward is actually delivered. Now, this is the same kind of rush that gamblers experience, and it's based on Skinner's theory of operant conditioning. And operant conditioning is all about the changes that we have in behavior, which can be sort of attributed to either negative or positive reinforcement. Now, in our case, it's positive reinforcement.
And we can feel those, can't we? If we just pause for a moment, we can feel those. So when you're expecting something good, there's that slight tingle that you get.
That's right.
There's that kind of feeling in your stomach that sort of lifts, and there's that anticipation of hearing someone at the door or the mailman coming.
That's right.
And the negative.
I've got it now, Louise.
Coming on the program. The negative you can feel too, it's that downward pressure, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
That sinking feeling.
Yeah.
So we recognise it, don't we? And that is
Around why gamblers get this dopamine rush when they are perhaps gambling on machines, for example. And it's very similar to the rush that people who subscribe to these boxes receive. But the other powerful part of operant conditioning is around, or it's something else that Skinner found, is it's around the most powerful forms of positive reinforcement. So this is where we're trying to get people to do what we want them to do. This occurs when there's what we call a variable ration of reinforcement or reward uncertainty. So because we're not quite sure what's in the box, that's around reward uncertainty. And so that makes it an even more powerful sort of feeling that you're going to get. So you get that dopamine rush, and it's even more powerful because you're not quite sure what's going to be in the box.
Exploring our operant conditioning with Louise Grimmer on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. What's in it for the retailer, Louise?
Oh, well, look, what's in it for the retailers, Louise? Very good question. Look, what's in it for the retailers is that if you think about it, subscription box retailing retailers want you to provide quite a bit of information about yourself. Now, this has obviously been in the media recently around Facebook and all of the sort of information that we're giving out more publicly. But when you sign up for subscription boxes, you're obviously giving, you know, your demographic information. But if you want to have some of the boxes especially tailored to you, you have to give even more information. Now, this is very valuable information for retailers. And a lot of the retailers share this information with the brands that are putting their products in the box. So a lot of the retailers are basically just a conduit for brands to put their products in the box. And a lot of the time it's used for new product trials, for example. And so they are collecting a lot of information about you. The other thing, of course, is that you're giving your credit card for, you know, a deductible payment every month. And it's something that just happens very easily. And we know that with this this sort of other notion of behavioural consistency, that's where we know that our past behaviour is the best predictor of our future behaviour. And if the behaviour is easy, which it is if you've given over your credit card, and it's enjoyable, so you like what's in the box, you'll keep doing it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when it comes to setting themselves up for that experience, I guess there's two things that we may have experienced. One is that it's our income that we have to spend on luxuries, which we may not be spending as we used to, perhaps on restaurant meals. So there's that element, discretionary spending. But the other thing, I guess, is to ever increasingly try to meet that need for the dopamine rush.
That's right. And I think a lot of people are, some of these boxes are very reasonably priced. So, you know, some of them are just $10 a month. So if you think about that, it's $2.50 a week. It's not really a lot of money. Now, obviously, some of them range up to the hundreds of dollars, depending on what sort of box you've got. Mm. And in America, there is a huge range of boxes.
But if you want to do $20 a month or something, there's probably something
treat,
to indulge
you know,
in.
$5 a week and you might get a new lipstick, or you might get a sample of some body lotion.
And when they all want feedback, so I guess makeup's a good area to work with, you know, that color, how did that lipstick feel? How did that lotion work? So you're kind feeding back some of the information
to the
brand.
That's right. So a lot of the retailers will be asking you to leave a review on their site, for example. And this is all, as you say, valuable information for the retailers and for the brands that are putting the products in in the boxes. But consumers need, you know, you need to be aware when you are subscribing to this sort of retailing that, you know, read the fine print, have a look at how much notice you need to give if you want to cancel your subscription, you know, how many months you need to subscribe for. You need to be sort of, you know, aware of what you're signing up for with these boxes. Now, the other interesting thing about them is that there are whole sort of vloggers and people on social media that have made a living out of basically filming themselves opening these boxes. So their job is to subscribe to the boxes
and then open them.
Film themselves opening them and hundreds of subscribers to their channels.
And that's another area to be aware of, isn't it? And I'm sure that every vlogger will tell you I only endorse the products that I like, but being paid by the brand is a good reason to like their product.
That's right.
And it's something to bear in mind, isn't it?
That yes, it
not
is.
Not everyone's going to tell you the outright truth just based on their own personal experience.
No, and we see these brand influencers are obviously being paid by the brands that they are promoting on Instagram, in particular, is the growing sort of format now. But also a lot of the YouTubers. Now, you might start off just opening up blind. online bags or subscription boxes. But as your subscriber numbers grow, of course, you're going to be contacted by various brands who will want you to open their products or endorse their brands online. Mm. So, yeah, we need to look at it with a bit of skepticism, I guess.
Can it turn against the box provider that people don't like and then they take to social media and condemn them?
Yes, I think so what researchers have shown is that it's very important if you're going to be a retailer that's using this format, you really have to try and delight and excite your customers every month. Now, that's a difficult thing to do. I was reading about one of the retailers is a sock retailer. So
I don't know how many socks I need a year.
Exactly. They send out socks to men every month. And, you know, what this retailer was saying is it's a very fine line between knowing that you've sent out socks that you hope customers are going to like. If you get one or two or three months where the customer doesn't like your socks, they will cancel their subscription with you. So it can be difficult if you've got a very set product. But one of the most successful companies is an American company, and basically what they do is they theme their boxes around whatever's popular at the moment. So, for example, if there's a new film out, they'll have a box that comes out that month with a lot of products that are from a film. Now, obviously, they've done some market research around who they're sending these boxes to, but if you can keep your sort of products fresh and timely, the worst thing is that you have sort of products that consumers know are cheap or they're stagnant.
And they do
or they're
know,
trial,
don't they?
You know, their trial size or those sorts of things. You'll lose consumers that way.
Talking subscription boxes, do you subscribe? Louise Grimmett, my guest on ABC Radio Hobart and around Tasmania. You mentioned, of course, America is the big thing for these. Is it taking off in Australia, or are we more likely to go for the renewal of supply, like you say, with your toilet paper or men's shaving gear?
Yeah. So I think, look, both of them, I think, are taking off. I think recurring subscription where you're just renewing goods, I think that's becoming more popular because, you know, as we've discussed on this show, we're all time poor. We don't have time to go shopping. And the other thing is that the really entrepreneurial brand, so the toilet paper that I get, without naming names, is a social enterprise. It's all recycled and a lot of the money goes to a charity that they support that builds toilets in third world countries. Mm. So that's a really good marketing pull for them. But I think it will grow, but it's certainly not as big as it is in America. Mm. If you go online, you can actually look up a list of American subscription box retailers that will ship to Australia.
Socks for your parrot.
Socks for your parrot. Beef jerky for your cocktail cabinet or something.
It's funny, while we were speaking, there's a major company that I buy from regularly that's just popped through into my email now. Hi there, great offers are waiting for you. And I know that I'll go and have a look later because there will be free shipping and there will be samples to go with whatever I buy.
Yeah, so free samples, that's another thing that we could just quickly talk about. You know, when you order online, if you're just ordering products online, now we're seeing a lot more free samples being included, and they are a really powerful thing for brands or for retailers. So I buy a few things online, makeup and skincare, always get free samples, and I have tried them. If you like them, then of course you're going to go and order them.
And I do that, and I wait until those offers come through.
Absolutely.
I think I'm not going to buy that. I'll wait till inevitably within the next week or two.
That's right. That's right.
There'll be an email like
that. So I think it is a growing trend. There are low barriers to entry, obviously, for people to set these businesses up. But in order to scale up and actually, you know, make a living out of it, there are many things that you need to get right. And obviously having enough people that are subscribing to your boxes is an important thing. And, you know, we have a fairly low, a smaller population in Australia if we compare with the UK and the United States. But it is a growing trend, and it's popular for some startups, and it's good for people who perhaps are launching new products to try and get their products
into
these boxes.
And niche products too. I think things like cheese boxes and so on do well, don't they?
Yeah,
sort of out of Tasmania.
That's right. Cheese boxes, wine boxes, there are coffee boxes. Mm. So you know the theme, but you don't know exactly what's going to be in it each month.
I feel my dopamine starting to sort of, you know, feed my brain already. Yet I know when I get home there'll be nothing waiting for me in the letterbox bar, perhaps the next Tas water bill. I will indeed. Louise Grimmer, always good to talk to you. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Louise. Bye.